Hello and welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast, where we open our Bibles and talk about the beauty, goodness, and truth we find there. I'm your host, Amanda Bible Williams.
And I'm your other host, Rachel Myers. And we are starting a new series this week. I'm so excited about this series. We have studied this topic before, but we have never podcasted about it.
And we kind of do it every day.
I
study it all the time.
We are kicking off a two-week series called This is the Gospel. And we are just opening our Bibles, opening our study books, and asking how Scripture tells the story of the gospel in a way that we can articulate to the people who ask. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a useful thing to get to do? We are joined today by our editorial director,
Jessica. One of our favorite people.
Jessica Lamb. We love her. Y'all, here's the thing. To know her is to love her. But I think that there, in many ways, y'all don't know her but love her, because so much of the work that She Reads Truth does and the books that we create especially comes through Jessica and the work of her team. So anytime we get her on the podcast, especially to talk about the gospel, this is an episode that it's maybe one of my favorites we've recorded this season. I'm so excited. Let's get right to it.
Jessica Lamb, welcome to the She Reads Truth podcast. Welcome back to the She Reads Truth podcast.
Thank you.
We've missed you on the podcast.
Oh, I've enjoyed listening to the podcast and maybe missed being on it. I love listening to all the guests that you have to talk about the reading plans. So yeah. I love to be on it and love to talk with you about the Bible.
Yeah.
But I also love hearing from other people too. So it's fun to get to come back.
Good. Well, it's fun to have you here. You already know, everyone, because you listened to us introduce Jessica, that she is an integral part of the She Reads Truth team. And so she has gone before you in every reading plan and paved the way. And so it's always, always, always fun to talk about the Bible with Jessica. We all have very strong feelings, and it's fun. It's a really fun part of what we get to do. And it's a large part of what we get to do. Mm-hmm. But today we are, as you know, starting our This is the Gospel series.
Yeah.
And Rachel, this reading plan, but more specifically, the gospel itself, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's actually everything.
Yeah.
We are women in the Word of God every day, but we are women in the Word of God every day because of the gospel.
Yeah.
So talk to us about that. Why? How is it at the center of what we do here?
I mean, we created this Bible reading plan actually a while ago.
Years ago.
For the She Reads Truth community, because we really wanted a place to go to point the community, something that like really just kind of curated the scriptures, Old and New Testament, and told the story of the gospel. We wanted to tell the story of the gospel using scripture, which is, I would argue, the way to do that. But when we did that, we wanted it to be something that like for somebody who has grown up knowing God, or for someone who has no idea and just like is just curious and everything in between, we wanted it to be a place where somebody could experience this two-week reading plan and be able to articulate the answer to the question, what is the gospel?
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is, in one sense, it is a very simple answer.
Yes.
And in another, it is very layered and mysterious. So it requires knowledge, and it also requires faith.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's something, to your point, Rachel, like we are, as women in the Word of God every day, as we're reading our Bibles, we all the time talk about, you know, Jesus and the gospel, and we point back to that daily. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us to stop and say, what is that exactly?
Define the terms, right? Yes. Like our friend Heather Thompson Day told us, you know, back when we were studying the armor of God, she said, we have to define the terms. And so that's what this study book does. And that's, I mean, Jessica, your team has worked on this. And so I'm excited to have you at the table for the first week of this plan. It's interesting to do a two-week study and a two-part podcast series on the gospel, because you only get half the story in the first week.
We'll give some spoilers. Come on.
We'll know how it ends. Well, I mentioned to Amanda this morning, one of the beautiful things about this is that when we first did it, I had a different role on the team. And so I was sort of along for the journey of, you know, developing this reading plan. Mm-hmm. And then even the work my team did on it, I was on maternity leave for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming to it both as a person who has worked on the plan, but also discovering little adjustments we made and being delighted with it. So I feel like I get to sort of sit in both seats on this one, as both an employee of She Reads Truth who goes first, but also gets to come along the community and read it alongside them. So it's sort of a fun role I don't get to play normally.
Yeah, that is fun because that's rare. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually at this point when we are podcasting through a series, you know, we have been in the study for quite a while, mm-hmm. the three of us. You've been on the team a long time. Mm-hmm. How many years?
Four and a half.
So we're going to round that up to five. We're getting real close to five. If I were to ask you, how does the gospel change the way we read God's word? What's the answer to that?
I think that there are times where when we open God's word, we're jumping into the middle of a story that's been going on since the beginning mm-hmm. of time.
The actual beginning of time.
And we'll read
As we'll read today. Yeah. And we'll read today that our participation in the grand story, in uh-huh. the faith, is not the entirety of the story, right? It's a part of it. We're joining in on a work that God has been doing. Yeah. And we'll read through this sort of summary of what is the gospel in just a minute. But it's a story that starts at the beginning of creation and it goes through eternity. Mm-hmm. And we participate in it. And so when we have this framework of what is the story, and I almost want to just read the titles to tell them and then tell what affects how it is.
Oh, that's right, because the day titles of the reading plan tell the story.
Yes.
And that's the great thing. Like Amanda, you were saying, like the gospel is so simple and yet it is so complex. Like mm-hmm. it can be said in four words, like our four section headings.
Yes.
It can be said in 10 sentences, which would be our day titles, mm-hmm. or it can be expressed in all of the reading that we're going to have over uh-huh. the next 2 weeks.
The 66 canonized books of Scripture.
And the testimony of the saints.
And doctorates of ministry, and doctorates of theology.
All of the things.
And
it can be simple and it can be complex, but like the point is that it's inviting, and it invites believers and it invites non-believers. I used a word in the Ed letter. If y'all have the book, Amanda or I write a letter to y'all before you get to read the book. And in the letter, Jessica, someone from your team, Beth, came to me and she was like, I think we need to change the word here that you've used, because I used the word rehearsing, that mm-hmm. we need to be rehearsing the gospel to one another. And she was mm-hmm. like, could we say repeating or reciting? And I said, actually, here's why I wanted it to be rehearsing. I said, think of yourself as like if you're in a play and like you're trying to memorize lines. Like the way that you learn the thing is you rehearse it. You rehearse it to each other and mm-hmm. with each other. And I think rehearsing with each other actually is the thing that helps us memorize even better, right? And so I said, I think rehearsing the gospel with each other is a thing that I want to say here and I want to do in my life. I want to rehearse the gospel with my friends. When something beautiful, when you see beauty, goodness, or truth in your life, Jessica, I want to talk with you about why I see the gospel in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In some circles, we make it a verb and call it gospeling.
Yeah.
Gospeling.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
It's true.
Is that a Southern thing?
Might be.
I mean, I learned it in the South, so maybe.
hard to know.
We'll give the South credit. But I think, let's say it. We've kept talking around it. We've teased it. There's a big mm-hmm. buildup. Insert your drum roll. No, but what is the gospel?
Yeah.
We outline in this reading plan, like Rachel said, there are four movements, and then we get into each of those movements a little deeper. Mm-hmm. But the movements are creation, fall, redemption, and restoration. Mm-hmm. And the day titles, as we read through this plan together as a community, tell that story in a little more depth. And those are God created the heavens and the earth. God created humanity in his image. Humanity rebelled against God. All people are sinful by nature. We cannot save ourselves. That's where we will actually end this podcast, but then next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, read them all.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. Jesus lived, died, and rose from the grave. Jesus calls us to repentance and faith. We are saved from death to life. Amen. Mm-hmm. Jesus secures our peace with God. Also amen. Mm-hmm. All creation will be restored.
Also amen.
Also amen. Every single day, actually.
So many amens.
Amen.
Amanda's hand is in the air.
Yeah. Hands in the air.
Yeah. This is where my soundless bangles come in handy.
Yeah. I had a drum roll. Yeah. A lot of new sound effects, but we'll get on that later for the podcast. But so when we think about that story, mm-hmm. and you asked, you know, why does that matter for reading Scripture? Mm-hmm. Every time we read anything in Scripture, we're in part of the story, right? Mm-hmm. That we are looking at people who are anticipating the need for a savior because we cannot save ourselves, looking at the Old Testament, looking forward to the cross, looking at brokenness, looking at how sin affects everything in all relationships, which we'll dig into today some, but that we're there in the Old Testament waiting, you know, yearning for Jesus. So we need to know, where do we come from? What mm-hmm. are we waiting for? And then when we get to Jesus, why is that such good news?
That's right.
And then when we look at the rest of the New Testament, what does it mean to live in response mm-hmm. to what Jesus has done? And where are we going?
Mm-hmm.
What's next? What are we waiting for? We're in progress, but it's not yet fully realized in the entire world, in our relationship. So we're all living as part of this story. We're living as gospel people who are being transformed. Mm-hmm. And it's our scripture reading. Where are we in the story?
That's so helpful to think about so that good. Not just, because initially I was like, oh yeah, in scripture, we're always somewhere in the storyline mm-hmm. of the gospel. So if we're in the Old Testament, we can find ourselves there. But you're right that it goes even outside of scripture as we are between two Advents, as mm-hmm. the church. Even now, we're somewhere on that storyline of the gospel. But I love kind of like, encouraging y'all listening, like ask that question. When you open the Bible, ask where you are reading in the storyline of the gospel, and that would give very important context for what mm-hmm. you're reading and what to be looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. We sometimes call it like the story of redemption.
Yeah.
Like the whole capital S story. And we're going to start at the very beginning of the story.
Good place to start.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The sound of music
begin,
would say.
We're going to begin at the beginning. And we're going to start in the first verse of the first book of the Bible.
That's right.
In Genesis 1. And we're going to see, you know, God created the heavens and the earth is the title of the day. We're going to see the way things were supposed to be. That, you know, how God created everything and how.
Yeah.
How did he, like, meaning, what was the nature of his creation?
It's funny because we joke about like, oh, let's go back to Genesis. Like we do that in so many plans. But often when we go back to Genesis, we go back to Genesis 3 to like the fall. Mm-hmm. Like we start with our need. But I love in this reading day that y'all listening, if you're listening to this on Monday, read the creation account. Mm-hmm. To me, it is such a familiar thing that I forgot that I hadn't read it in a while. And so to read Genesis chapter 1 was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you all are going to read the whole chapter today, but if you're listening to this on Monday, mm-hmm. but I'm going to read for us the first 5 verses and we'll start there. Mm-hmm. Starting in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So first of all, there's that.
A full right? podcast episode.
A full stop.
Yes.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was an evening, and there was a morning. One day.
Okay, here is something that's really exciting about this. Just what we were saying earlier, the gospel does not start with us,
mm-hmm.
right? The story does not begin with us. We are an important part of it. We're invited to participate in it, but it starts in the place that it should. It starts with God. It starts with who he is. Mm-hmm. And even already, like in these first 5 verses, we learn so much about his nature, and I could talk about it for hours. We won't, because there are other days to talk about.
We'll let you talk about it for minutes, though.
That's
Go ahead.
But just that we already see here, it starts with a God who makes, mm-hmm. and then he makes things to be good,
mm-hmm.
that he makes things to be the way that they ought to be, in a way that
that's
is flourishing,
right.
that even good is not just like, yeah, it's good. It's that they're desirable, they're excellent, they're right, they are beautiful and true. It's how things ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he makes it. So we know that that's true about God.
The purest version of the things. Yeah.
So we know that that's how he wants things to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not a God who like rejoices in chaos. He's a God who wants things to be good at like
yeah.
the deepest sense.
Right.
I love that.
It also even here, I just was noting that here you get that God speaks with authority. He speaks things into being.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then also he's a God who sees. So he's a God who speaks. He's a God who sees. He speaks with authority and things are
right.
because of what he says, but also he sees them. He also is present and he observes his creation. So even in these first 5 verses, we learn so much about the character of God.
Yeah.
Right.
That is where we're starting.
Yeah.
That when you get into all these other days about what is sin and what does God need and why do we need this and why do we need a savior, that all of that is rooted here,
right?
In this God who creates things. And so he understands what it is to have flourishing, what it is to have goodness, because he made it to be that way.
Yeah.
And so many words that we use to describe God fall short because he is the thing. So I want to say, like, he is creative. He's not just creative. He is the creative.
Yes.
He is the creator. And he, you know, he is good, but he is also, he is goodness.
Yes.
So it makes sense that what he creates is good. Yeah. In the Jesus Storybook Bible, Sally Lloyd-Jones writes, instead of "let there be light," it says, "hello, light," and there was light.
Yeah.
And, you know, and "hello, sky."
Yes.
And hello. And I was reading that with Toby the other night, and it was just, I just loved that image. It made it so, he speaks things into being. Mm-hmm. And I know that, I knew that, but it was fun to think of it that way.
I hadn't noticed that we can learn about God, that he's a God who sees from Genesis 1, but you're right, God saw that the light was good. Never noticed that before. Love that you pointed that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even that when it talks about like the Spirit of God was like hovering over the surface of the waters, we get the same word there in, I wrote it down to make sure I didn't get it wrong, Deuteronomy 32:11, and it's this image of like a bird, like kind of like I'm doing a great flapping that you can't see if you're listening.
But I get the benefit of seeing it.
Imagine that you're enjoying me awkwardly flap my arms like the wings in a podcast studio. But
it's tangible.
Yes, of like a bird hovering over their young. Like there's a care that God didn't just create and then say, okay, well, have at it.
Yeah.
He continues to be invested. He continues to see. And that's true for physical creation, and it's true for us. We're part of that.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I want to picture him hovering over me.
Yeah, yeah. And we get
like a bird over its young.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Good. Yeah.
And just that repetition, God saw that it was good. And now that saw is standing out to me. I love it. God saw that it was good, and God saw that it was good, and God saw that it was good, and God saw that it was good. Those are the rest of the four times, unless I missed one, which I may have. No, there was another. There's another one. And God saw that it was good. That every time he's creating, it just, I love that reiteration that everything God creates is good.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the whole like, but who created God? Like the thing that like we can't know and have to be okay with not knowing or solving that mystery.
We believe that we know is that no one created God.
Right. It brings me back to like high school theology class where like I've learned like the finite, that's us, cannot define the infinite. Okay, we know that. And we know that he created things, that Latin term ex nihilo, like he created it all out of nothing, right? But like the fact that I can't understand the ins and outs of God and that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning. He is the beginning. Mm-hmm. I can't understand that. And I love that because I'm his creature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That it's right. It's right that God is beyond our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And that even when we try to think about, well, then this must have had something before that. Well, even when you look at this, we even see here when we look at it, that God's creating the sun. He's creating the things that we use to understand time, right? What is earthly time, if not the rotation of the earth revolving around the sun? That's how we understand years, days, hours. Those are things that God created. So even our concept of time,
yes,
which gets real complicated,
we just
and hurts
get
my brain,
set in the context but of what God created.
It's created by him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It says
it hurts
that.
My brain too.
Genesis 1:14, then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for seasons and days and years." Like even that is a gift and God to remember. Like when you stopped yourself, Rachel, when you said timeline, you're like, well, that's not right. To remember that God is even outside of time, that time is his creation.
Right.
So he's not bound by it, which really can mess with your brain.
And we're doing this in math class with my daughter right now, drawing like number lines, timelines, and to go like that God's timeline just has an arrow backward and forward, whereas Earth has a beginning. It has a dot where the start. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Pretty cool is such a terrible way to conclude
pretty
that.
Pretty cool.
Where language fails us.
But while we're here, like, all of Scripture interprets Scripture, right? Like, it speaks to
it's
itself.
One story.
And so on this first reading day of the Gospel plan, we also get to read from John, chapter 1, verse 1, that talks about the beginning, actually kind of, not kind of, does echo the language of Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created.
And that he is Jesus.
Jesus.
Yeah. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3.
It's Jesus.
Because it's a capital W word. In the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
Jesus is the living, incarnate Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we just talked about how God's words with a lowercase w speak things into being, and Jesus is, and we have the Word. We call Scripture God's
mm-hmm.
Word
yeah.
because it is inspired by him and breathed out, Scripture teaches us,
mm-hmm.
and true. And so we have his words that he speaks. We have the Word, Scripture, and we have the Word, Jesus,
yeah.
who is the same and yet distinct way. Correct me if I'm walking very carefully here, Jessica. This is part. This is some insight into what Jessica does with us. As Scripture is the revealed word, the special revelation. Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes, yes. Of who God is, of God. Jesus also reveals who God is.
Mm-hmm. He's the exact image of God.
That's
right.
The exact image, Colossians.
But I think here, you know, and if we get too deep into this, we start to even muddle our brains even more deeply. But one of the things that is unique to the Christian faith is that we are a Trinitarian people,
mm-hmm.
that we serve one God.
I wasn't going to bring
in
it up.
Three
I'm
persons.
Glad you did.
No, I well, definitely want to talk
I,
about it.
I would like to have no follow-up questions.
Yes.
No, but just in the briefest sense, because we could spend, I mean, hours and hours carefully talking about the Trinity.
And probably still not getting it right. That
yes,
is, at the end of the day.
And have a ride us in with all the ancient heresies we accidentally stumbled into.
Uh-huh.
And trying to talk about
I just watched that favorite video of ours last night, unrelated
yes.
to this.
Yeah.
I just happened to watch it. We'll link it. It's fun. If
that's
you
Modalism
it.
Patrick
yes.
the video. But that we are a Trinitarian people, that
mm-hmm.
we serve one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They are all equally God. They are one, but they are also distinct. And so there's a lot of writing and ink that's been spilled about that, but even seeing here that Jesus is not a person who became God,
mm-hmm.
we believe as Christians, as Trinitarian people, that Jesus is God.
Mm-hmm.
He was
that's
present
right.
with God from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually really beautiful and important as we get into this gospel story, understanding that all three persons of the Trinity are at work in ways that are complicated and tricky to understand, but also really beautiful. They're all doing this work.
Yeah.
And it matters to understand that and to see from the beginning that together they are deciding.
Right.
They're doing this.
The
this
work is done
work.
In unity.
Yes.
I think back to, and this is, I mean, silly, but interesting to me. I think back to when we were creating the She Reads Truth Bible as a team mm-hmm. and going like, ooh, like what if it was a red letter Bible? Like that would be really cool. And like then like nerdy joy, like digging into the conversation of like, should Let There Be Light be red? Like if in the beginning was the Word and all things were created through, like just kind of going like, how do you divide
mm-hmm.
what is red, what is black in the Word of God with the Trinity in mind? Like, and this is not to disparage a red letter Bible, because
all.
I actually love like getting to see those words in red. But it just led to a really interesting conversation
mm-hmm.
that just kind of made my brain work a little harder to go, oh, yeah.
It was the hardest we'd ever thought about the red letters
yes.
in a red letter Bible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Before we turn the page, I want to read Hebrews 11:3 because here's what it says, and then I'll tell you my because. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. I'm thankful for this verse and verses like it that acknowledge the mystery
mm-hmm.
of the gospel and of God and of the Trinity. And, you know, by faith, we understand this. You know, and the gospel does not mince words when it says, you know, Scripture does not mince words when it says that our salvation is by faith.
Mm-hmm.
There's no scientific method that we're going to present on this podcast today. This is wholly other,
mm.
and it is by grace through faith that we are saved. We'll read this later,
mm.
but I'm grateful for that. It is by faith that we understand, but the understanding is still there.
Yeah.
By faith, we understand That's an interesting juxtaposition.
And if you have your study book in your hands, you'll see that something that our team took the time to do in creating this book was to define the terms. Mm-hmm. And really, so like, you know, Hebrews 11:3, you'll see that faith is bold. And it kind of links us to go to page 88, and there's a whole glossary of all of these terms that we see in Scripture that we use in our, you know, Christian vernacular, that this is what that actually means. This is what faith is. And that's a hard thing to put into any number of characters, but we've done what we can do.
We've done our best to support you. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it would be good to move on to the next day where we actually do begin to enter the story.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
God created humanity in his image. Mm-hmm. So we're still, I'd said you were going to read all of Genesis 1. I was wrong. I forgot. Some of Genesis 1 we are reading in day 2. And this is where, this is the creation of humans.
Yeah.
This is our origin story, y'all. And honestly, I'd love for us just to read this full section from Genesis 1. Verses 26 through 31. Rachel, will you read it for us?
Sure. Starting in verse 26, then God said, let us, and I love the us. Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry. I do a thing where I say three words and then I start talking.
That's one of the reasons we love you, Rachel.
Then God said, let us make man in our image. And that there's the our. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just saying Trinity joy.
Don't miss it, you all.
Don't miss it. Yeah, mark it up. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them, male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. God also said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth. Everything having the breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good indeed. Mm. Evening came and then morning, the sixth day.
Just a good word.
Just a good
actual word of the Lord.
Hey friends, I want to take a quick break to tell you about one of our podcast sponsors, August Cloth. Now listen, I am just not a good shopper. When it comes to finding new clothes, I feel like I just endlessly search for clothes that fit well, that feel amazing, and that give me the effortless style that I really want to wear. And so essentially, I just feel like I need someone to do the shopping for me. Can you relate to that at all? This is why I'm excited to tell you about one of our favorite online boutiques. August Cloth is owned by a fellow she who reads Truth named Crystal, and we've been browsing their spring and summer collections, and let me tell you, I felt instant relief because Crystal and her team curate collections that allow us to shop easily and just love what we live in. They even offer video try-ons in multiple sizes for every new style, so you can see what the clothes are really going to look like on you. I mean, how great is that? Even more than cute clothes, Crystal is a fellow adoptive mama. You know that means a lot to me. And she's passionate about caring for women and children in crisis. And so August Cloth partners with local foster care agencies or pregnancy centers every year to provide support to families in need. So when you shop at August Cloth, you get to be a part of that too. So essentially, what I'm saying to you is you need to check this out. After the show, jump onto augustcloth.com and use our listener discount for 15% off. The code is SRT15. And you can also follow August Cloth on Instagram or Facebook at August Cloth, and new collections shop every Thursday. So that's augustcloth.com and use the discount code SRT15 for 15% off your purchase. All right, back to the show.
I will admit here in the safety of our podcast studio that this call, is that commission for humanity here, for the humans that God created in his image to rule the earth is...
And subdue it.
I've never quite known what to do with that. Like, I think because of, we talk often about like sitting in our like today, like 2022 seats, understanding this ancient word of the Lord, but living an active word of mm-hmm. the Lord. And so I want us to talk about it because it's actually really significant.
It's really significant. This is why I was the most excited to be on this episode of the podcast, though I, you know, we'll talk about sin and decay and destruction in just a minute.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be great.
But talking about the image of God is something that I think I could talk about again for hours with y'all. I think it's just so significant and it's so important.
And it's tied to the ruling.
It's like tied to the ruling.
I feel like, oh, I'm comfortable. This is not all about my comfort, but just confessing, like me as a Bible reader, I'm comfortable with the notion that we are, I'm not just comfortable with it, I treasure it, I cherish the truth that we are created in God's image, but it's the ruling part.
So one of the things that we see throughout all of Scripture is that our identity informs our practice. So who we are and who we understand ourselves to be shapes how we live. We live out of our understanding of ourselves. And that's what you get here, is that there are lots and lots of opinions about what it means to be an image bearer, all the nuances of this. But my favorite understanding of this particular passage is from Michael F. Byrd. He has this great evangelical theology. He's written lots of books that we can link to some in the in the show notes. But he talks about how being made in the image of God is simply the foundational reality of what it means to be human. This is what it is to be human, not to be an animal, not to be a plant. This is something that's unique. And then everything else sort of flows out of that. And so what you get with this commission, this calling, is that who we are has dictated practice. Because of who we are, because of being an image bearer, because of that status that we have with God, our work, our lives are not purposeless. Mm-hmm. We are not just living and doing. All the things we do are carrying out what God's called us to. So even when you look in those categories of be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, you're looking at how we are also called to bring flourishing and order to the earth beyond the garden.
Yeah.
So we have here in the garden, but they're going to leave the garden. Even right there, you get it. They're called to fill the earth. They're not called to stay and multiply and fill the garden. They're called to go out and keep doing this. God started a thing. He started bringing order and purpose and flourishing to the earth. It's how it's created to be. But then he invited us, created us, and said, hey, you have this significant status. You bear my image. And because of that, go and keep doing this work. And so we can get into this later, but it doesn't end with the fall. It doesn't end with the sin. That affects our ability to do that work.
Yeah.
But that these tasks, thinking about, you know, marriage, child rearing, the cultivation, gathering food to eat, preparing food, sharing it, all of those things have purpose.
Yeah.
They are cultivating the creation that God created with him for a purpose, living out that work.
It's like this like holy org chart where like God is over all and in all and through all. And then we serve under him, but also in his image. So he is the creator. He is the one that brings order. And so as people with Imago Dei, the image of God, creating the image of God, we create order. We create things and we bring things to order. And then he's going, and now you rule and subdue the earth and it serves, it feeds you, but you do it in a way that you care for it in a way that I care for you, right?
For like flourishing.
It's for flourishing.
Yeah.
But I mean, and I think that it's always important to point out that like this is work.
Yes.
And that in the beginning was work. God created us and there was work. There were tasks. Work is in like in its purest form, it is good. Creating is good and bringing order to things is good. It is a pre-fall invitation.
And that work is not just how we think of work of I do a task and you pay me for it.
Right.
It is intrinsic to who we are that we are cultivating and creating. And I think we sometimes get hung up on like the word subdue, which feels kind of like this strange aggressive thing of like I've subdued it. But really, it's just this, it is that like this flourishing. It's taking what's chaotic and bringing order to it.
Subdue to me sounds like make it orderly. Like put it to, like help it.
Yes.
And it's help it.
And it's not like put it in its place, but it is. It's like help establish those boundaries, help steward these resources.
That's how I feel when I look at my home sometimes. I'm like, help it. Like, put it in order.
I must subdue this chaos.
There's no flourishing here because it is chaos. I need help. Yes.
Yeah, to subdue something, to subdue your home is a good thing.
Right.
Like when you're doing it in the image of the way that God did that.
Right. It's not for destruction or for chaos.
Right.
It's for goodness. And one of the things my daughter, who is six, has had to do in pre-K is they'll sometimes have her sort things. What's man-made? what's natural. And one of the things we've talked about with her is that there is nothing man-made that's not from something that God's made or that's not seeking to imitate something that God has made. So that there's nothing that we create that doesn't either use something that God's given us or reflect something that God has given us.
Yeah.
So even thinking about song, thinking about worship, thinking about those things that we think, oh, well, I created this out of nothing. But even that are a reflection on something. They're a response. You think about the best love songs or the best poetry.
Right, right.
They're trying to use art to capture something that God's given us.
Mm-hmm.
Or you think about the most impressive technology, thinking about even a computer and like a microchip and all these things. What are we trying to create in that technology? The human brain.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to create something that can do the work of 100 human brains. We are still trying to replicate something that God already showed us.
Yeah.
And so even that, when you think about like subduing or how does this creation work? We're not hunter-gatherers. Maybe we have some people who are farmers, and one of our Devo riders is a shepherdess, which is delightful and
it
fun.
It is so delightful.
That is still what people do. But for those of us who are sitting in an office building, you're thinking, well, I'm not going out and cultivating the land. You are still cultivating the earth.
Yeah.
Your creative work still is living into this commission we've been given as image bearers.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I want to read just a bit of Psalm 8 before we turn to the second section of the story, starting at verse 3. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you set in place, what is a human being that you remember him? A son of man that you look after him. You made him little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. And verse 9, Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. I love how that psalm mirrors this conversation of these first two reading days, right? Where we see God as creator and establisher of everything, and it is good the way it is intended to be. And part of his good creation is us.
Mm-hmm.
And that he's not only mindful of us, but our very existence is a reflection of him. And that we, regardless of anything about us, we have the stamp of our creator on us. That is true of every human being.
And I think it's so important to recognize that. That when we talk about being image bearers, the Imago Dei, it's important that whatever we say about that, we recognize must be true for all people. I think sometimes people will talk about different ways we represent God, maybe our ability to feel or to love or to think or different things that are good. But also sometimes when we talk about those things, we inadvertently communicate that there are degrees of being an image bearer, right?
Yes.
We communicate like, if it's all about, you know, your intellect, what does it say about someone who has a disability?
Right.
Who, you know, is just as much an image bearer of God as any other human being.
Mm-hmm. There are not degrees of
image
bearing.
There are not degrees of being an image bearer. And one of the things
our very existence.
Yes. That's why this idea that it is a status. It is who we are intrinsically as humans.
I like that.
One of the things that's unique about this Genesis creation account is the idea of a person bearing the image of God is not a thing that's brand new to Christianity or to the Hebrew faith when we're talking about Genesis. That when you look at other ancient Near Eastern texts, there is this idea that there were kings or rulers who were an image of God. They were a little, you know, symbolic representation who ruled in their...
like little gods.
Yeah, little gods. Yeah, they ruled in that thing. What we get here is this sort of like democratization of being an image bearer. It's not a king.
Yeah.
It's not the most important person in your society who has all the authority and all the power. It's every single person.
And it means that we have, every single person has inherent in them worth, value, dignity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it shapes the rest of this discussion about the gospel, and it also should really convict us.
Yeah.
Do I treat every person I interact with, from the youngest person to the oldest person, every other person regardless of...
From the most able to the least able.
Yes, the least able. Every race, every social economic class, every single person is an image bearer.
Yeah.
They have this status. They are loved by God in every moment holy. The birthday reflection, it's this liturgy that of prayers for daily life that a lot of us here have enjoyed. There's a part that says something along the lines of, we thank you, God, for your image reflected uniquely in, and you name the person.
Yeah.
This idea that each person is reflecting God in a way that only that person
Okay,
is reflecting God.
My sister read that to me for my birthday last year, and there's this little phrase that says, "We thank you for the unrepeatable gift of Rachel." Is what yes. you know you fill in the person's name, but like unrepeatable gift of, and that you fill in every single person's name. It's just beautiful,
and it's important. It's important for like the worth mm-hmm. and the rest of yeah. the story that we read. Mm-hmm. But this is. It's good news.
Yeah. Yes.
Because every person also has this value.
And then yeah. we have this like transition passage. I love it. I mean, this is the end of section one. Like section one is creation, and we've read that and we're transitioning now into fall. But there's this passage on day two from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47 says, "The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. Like the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. Like the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven." And then this verse 49, "And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we also will bear the image of the man of heaven." And it's this kind of sneak peek into what the rest of the gospel story is going to tell us.
Mm-hmm. A sneak peek in our book.
Yeah, a sneak peek in our book because it did exist in the New Testament.
That's true. That's
Paul wrote that.
Yes. And this image that you just so beautifully described, Jessica, thank you so much for that. Every single person. And what is also true is that we are fallen. And we're going to talk about what that means, how that happened, and what that means. And so on day three, the title is Humanity Rebelled Against God. And this is the passage that you referenced earlier, Rachel, where we go back to Genesis 3 to see the entrance of sin mm-hmm. into the world.
We read this year for Lent, on day one of Lent, to go like, let's start here yeah. with our need mm-hmm. as we begin Lent. So as a community, we've already read Genesis 3 together this year, but let's read it again. Jessica, would you read it for us?
Yes, I would. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. "Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die.' 'No, you will certainly not die,' the serpent said to the woman. 'In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' The woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for attaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves."
So, again, back to the Jesus Storybook Bible and my little time with the amazing thing is that he just wanted to keep reading and reading and reading. Toby's very interested in bad guys and just like the villain in the story. And so he's like, "Is there a bad guy?" And I'm like, "Well, there's this guy. That's a snake." And so he was very captivated by that. But, you know, I pointed it out to him. I was like, "Here's the first lie. You will certainly not die." Mm-hmm. And this time as I was reading this through, it felt like so much insight into my own heart of we see the lie. It's like, well, God knows that if you're going to eat it, then you're going to have the same knowledge that he has. You're going to be like God, essentially, right? And how I am so guilty of that, of wanting to be God-like, mm-hmm. wanting to be like God. And then we see Eve's rationale of like, well, I saw, it says she saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at and desirable for obtaining. So she's like, she's calculating here, right? Well, it looks good. And God said, I want to be wise because here's this liar telling me that he knows that if you eat it, mm. you're going to have this knowledge. And so she's relying on her own rationale, mm-hmm. right? She's just like, well, mm-hmm. according to me and my reason right now, here are all the reasons yeah. that I should do this thing that God told me not to do.
God is threatened by me, and I think I might know better than God.
That's mm-hmm. right. So, mm-hmm. And then that we see the result. Mm-hmm. You know, we see the sin and we see the result of the sowing the fig leaves together. That verse grieves me mm-hmm. because it resonates so deeply, and that the product of sin, there are many products of sin. One of them is shame. And that shame was not given to them. God did not put that shame on them. That shame was a consequence mm-hmm. of the sin. And the shame is a like wanting to cover up what, you know, their image-bearing selves.
Mm-hmm. And what we don't have in today's reading, because, of course, we could have put the whole Bible in here to say this is the gospel, is that later, you know, as God sends them out of the garden, he gives them skin of animals mm-hmm. for their covering. So he creates clothing for them to cover them. And, like, it's kind of not lost on us that there was creation and it was good and nothing was dying, right? Mm-hmm. But now, because humanity sinned, the animals whose skin Adam and Eve had to then wear, like, blood had to be shed. Mm-hmm. And like Amanda, you said, you know, there are consequences to sin and sometimes that's shame, but like the consequence to every sin always is death.
Yeah.
That is the like the universal thing that is true. And that's kind of where we are now.
Yes, and that a little bit gets even into the next day's reading,
yeah,
which is about all people are sinful by nature, and we read where Cain murders Abel.
Yeah.
And we also read on that day Romans 6, 20 through 23, where it talks about this, where it says, the outcome of those things is death. Mm-hmm. We see it literally in that story, mm-hmm. and like you're saying, we see it in creation, that sin is not just this abstract concept of like, oh, things we shouldn't do, like, oh, aren't we naughty? It's like, no, sin is death. Sin is decay. Sin is the destruction of our relationship with one another, with yes. creation, with God. It's a violation of relationship, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like a cute idea.
It's not something to wink at.
Right, or something that's just like a little bit naughty.
Right.
It's like, yeah. it's the deep breaking
yeah.
of everything that's good.
Yeah.
We should grieve it.
Yes. And it takes the, you know, in creation, we just read like that God created and gave order and told us to create and give order. And this sin creates disorder
yes.
and chaos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it undoes mm-hmm. the good.
Yeah. I think that sometimes when we read about the gospel story, we sort of start here. And we talked about that earlier. We sort of start with the fall. And to truly grieve
yeah.
why sin is so awful,
yeah.
we have to look at why it was meant to be so good.
Yeah,
you know, talking
right.
about this idea of this is not the way things ought to be.
Yes.
We could all
yes.
look around in our lives. We can look around at the world, mm-hmm. at so many things, mm-hmm. and see our dissatisfaction of, oh, I wish that relationship wasn't broken that way.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish this world event was not happening in this way where, you know, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because we're grieved. Mm-hmm. We're grieved at seeing chaos and disorder and destruction on every level, globally,
yes.
socially, and then with each other, or even in ourselves. I wish I wasn't this way.
And one way we rehearse the gospel to each other is to say that. This is not how it was meant to be.
Yep.
If you're sitting with somebody who is hurting, or if you're looking and watching something terrible, if you're experiencing it yourselves, to say out loud, this is not how it was meant to be, mm-hmm. is rehearsing the gospel to yourself, because yeah. you know how it was meant to be, and you know how it will become, mm-hmm. and you know who accomplished that
yes,
and
yes.
is accomplishing that and
That's
will
right.
complete it.
Yes. And that the goodness of our God is that he looks at that and he doesn't say, well, you guys messed it up.
Yes.
So sorry. Like,
yeah.
guess it's bad. He says, no, it was meant to be good. It will be good again.
Yeah.
I won't leave it this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually really love, you all will read more of Genesis 3, but I think that what happens next in the story is such an illustration of that, of how, you know, it says in verse 8, I won't read much of it, in verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And you can imagine how many times that has probably happened before, and just the peacefulness of that and the intimacy of their presence together with the Lord in the garden. But what comes after that comma? And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then God calls out to them and says, where are you? And he's not asking because he doesn't know. This is a very loaded question. Mm-hmm. And we see God pursuing them even in the mm-hmm. garden, in this pursuing yes. this relationship. And this relationship is now broken. It is not what it was meant to be. And this is the reason, one of the reasons we go back to Genesis 3, during Advent, during Lent, we get our first promise mm-hmm. of the Messiah, our first glimpse into that Jesus will come to undo this curse that comes as a result of sin. Genesis 3:15, I will put, this is the Lord talking to the serpent, I will put hostility between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. And that might sound really cryptic if you haven't read it before, but what this is, and it is representative of the promise of what you all just said so beautifully, that he's not going to leave us this way. Mm-hmm. Yes, they are kicked out of the garden. They are ushered out of mm-hmm. the garden, and not in the way it was intended to be. But that is not the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. And then moving on to day five, the last day in this section about the fall, the title is, We Cannot Save Ourselves.
Yeah. Romans 8 here is the punchline. Punchline is a terrible word to use, but Romans 8, it gives us all the headlines here of this day, I think. Like we have, even starting in verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Mm-hmm. I mean, you all, we just read in Ezekiel that the Lord has to give us a new heart and put his spirit within us, right? And so Romans 8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God lives in you. So that's like a glimpse of what, or not a glimpse of, it's a statement of what God is doing. And then, yeah, this passage, the title, even the section title, From Groans to Glory.
It's such a good word. And it's that I know that next week is when we're going to talk about what undoes this.
The saving work.
But it is worth even reading this to sit here and wrestle with. We're going to get into what Jesus has done, mm-hmm. how things are being made right.
And
we see in the Old Testament that God is a saving God too.
Mm-hmm.
We see that's God's heart. And you see it in every book of Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it in its fullness. We see the Scripture refers to Jesus as the perfect image of God. We see how what it looks like to live as humans, how we were intended to be, and how close we were intended to walk with God and to bless others. We see it in Jesus. It's so good. Can't wait for next week for you to talk about it more and read more. But it's also worth sitting that this is undone, it's being undone, but we can sort of sit in that. And so I'd love to read the From Groans to Glory.
Yeah.
For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly awaits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves, who have the Spirit as the first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience.
Hmm.
Even as believers on this side of the cross,
mm-hmm.
we are still experiencing the consequences of the fall. We are also actively experiencing the undoing of the fall.
We're
living in this tension where that is still the world, but Jesus has come.
Mm-hmm.
Coming Monday.
Yes.
In our reading plans.
Yeah.
He has come, and he is beginning the work of undoing it. And so we get to groan and grieve and reflect on the weightiness of all that's broken while also looking around and rehearsing the gospel to one another and saying, yes, this is broken. It wasn't meant to be this way. Also, mm-hmm. God is at work.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Spirit is at work. He is actively making all things new, and we don't have it in fullness yet, but we're also not in the fullness of before Christ.
That's right.
We're living with both of those things, and that's part of rehearsing the gospel is sitting in that with each other.
Yes.
And with ourselves and with God. That both things can be true at the same time.
I love that.
Hard.
But that's it, yeah. And this section, this fall section, is 3 days where we look at the fall itself, the consequences of the fall. And then there is this third day, this Friday reading that says, we cannot save ourselves. And it's an easily overlooked detail for believers and non-believers alike that I can help here, right? What is my role to play? I have a pastor once who said, there's only one thing that we can contribute to our salvation, and it is the sin that necessitated it. There is nothing that we can do. And even as we read in Hebrews on this day from chapter 7, verse 26, for this is the kind of high priest we need, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day as high priests do, first for their own sins, then for those of the people. That's the thing. Like, none of us can be our own high priest
because
none of us are without sin.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we'll also read the story of the rich young ruler on Friday, where essentially you have a man who is saying, I've done all the things.
Right.
I've done all the things. And Jesus, because he's Jesus, can get right to the heart of the matter and point to the thing that he is just not capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can do a lot of good. We can, when Jesus says, and this is what he says to the rich young ruler, follow me, follow me. And the truth is that, you know, we can and do and desire to follow Jesus, but only Jesus can save us.
Yes.
So when we say we cannot save ourselves, it's because only Jesus can save us.
It's that by grace through faith.
That's
like,
right.
Yes, faith, but grace. The grace that we cannot give ourselves.
Right.
We can't extend it to ourselves because it is not ours to extend.
Mm-hmm.
But it is extended to us. We can't do it ourselves.
Yeah. And even back to that of this idea of being image bearers is that we, that status has remained. It also remains true that we are sinful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that initial work we were called to do is still something that we yearn for. And like Amanda said with the rich young ruler, there is good we can do. Everything is tainted by sin.
Mm-hmm.
Our ability to do it, our ability to live and to be the people that we want to be, to have the goodness in our lives that we seek, isn't possible on our own.
Yeah.
It's made possible through being renewed into the image of Jesus, who is the perfect image of God. That's sort of our journey, that we need that renewal. We need that new way to be human, which is actually a great Switchfoot song. But this idea that that's what we need is, a restoration, section 4.
Mm-hmm.
Of what it is to live
and to
be and to follow him.
And so here we sit between two weeks, in between sections 1 and 2, creation and fall, and then what's coming next week, the redemption, that work, that saving work of Christ, and the restoration, that making all things new, which is a weird thing to do when you're like, come back next week. Because
I'm going to give us a little something to hang on to here.
I appreciate that. We need that.
If we go back to Romans 6, which, Rachel, you read some of that, where it says that the outcome of those things, sin, the outcome of sin is death. And then it continues in verse 22, but now, since you have been set free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification. And we'll talk about that word too. And the outcome is eternal life. And here's your thing to hang on to, a verse that we often quote the beginning of, but I want to give you the full thing. For the wages of sin is death. So that's what we've talked about today, is we have talked about how the wages of sin is death. How we got there, how it's not how it was meant to be. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The story does not end. You know, thankfully, this cliffhanger, we are on the other side of the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. And we have the gift of having our history book of the Bible to know how this redemption story goes. And so we're going to talk about that next week.
We're not waiting for the gift to be given. No. We're waiting to talk about the gift next week, but it has already been given. It is offered, and it is ours to receive in faith from his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica, I'm so glad you are our guest for this episode. Obviously you and your team have been really like in and through the creation of this book and all the books that we get to talk about on the podcast, but it was sweet to get to talk about and hear your thoughts. And you have so much hard-won wisdom around the topic of scripture and the capital S story. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. It was so fun. I love to get to talk about the Bible with you, which is
we
do it tomorrow at work too.
Every day.
Get to do this all the time, and it's such a gift.
And sometimes there's a microphone.
Rarely, but sometimes.
Yeah. Well, listen, y'all listening, please do come back. But before next week, also be a woman in the Word of God and a man in the Word of God every day this week. There is so much that we read. There's so much that we did not read. And we really want you to experience this reading plan as we've put it together for you. And then do come back next week, and we'll talk about the redeeming work of Christ and the restoration that comes as a result of that for all creation. So Listen, until next week, Jessica, what do we tell our friends?
Keep opening your Bibles.